said, "That's not a hippo. That's my wife." You ready to do this?
All right, let's get her cooking.
You take your meds?
Yes, of course.
All your meds?
Yes, that's you, Will.
Oh, yeah. Sorry about that.
Yeah.
Let's get this done.
Let's do this.
Boom.
Yep.
Welcome to the newly renovated Rico's Pool Hall Tattoo Parlor and Liver Lounge. I'm Will Green.
And I'm D. Scott Graham.
And we thank you for joining us today on Oh My Liver,
a podcast about friendship, cirrhosis, and everything in between. We're in this together. Okay, everybody. Welcome to the first episode of Oh My Liver.
Yay!
We're so glad you're here. We're happy to have you. Really looking forward to some good conversation, some fun time. You know, just because we have serious stuff happening doesn't mean that we have to be all serious all the time. And Will and I are working at trying to keep a positive attitude and outlook in life. And we're happy to have you along for the ride. So thank you for joining us. We're going to get started. We'll just sort of, you know, give you a little background on each of us and talk about how we sort of came to be here and how we know each other and how we've been not talking for what, 30 years, Will? Something like that?
35 years.
35. Thanks, buddy. Thanks.
Hey, got to put it in there, man.
Yeah. So we'll talk about that. And go ahead, Will. Give us a little background about, like, you know, how you got here and life and that 35 years in between the last time we saw each other.
First of all, I'm going to say Scott is absolutely incredible. My co-host here.
Back at you, brother, buddy.
No. This man is brilliant. I go by Will Green, which is, you know, like Charlie Brown. So, you know, Scott is off the chain brilliant, and I got a rock. So, first of all, I'm going to throw that out to him. Second of all,
By the way, everybody, this is an ongoing conversation between Will and I am constantly giving him pushback. I am nowhere near brilliant. I am around brilliant people all the time, and I am nowhere near brilliant.
Scott and I met in 85?
Yeah, that sounds about right.
He went to one high school, I went to another, and we were two of the best actors that this theater in Winter Haven had ever seen for our age. Now, other people may disagree with you, but me and Scott are going to tell you that's the way it was. We were, you know, Scott's got so many more talents than I do. I'm an incredible actor. Scott is an incredible actor. If you see us perform together, you would just fall out of your chair. And that's not being modest. That's being truthful. So we have these friends. I mean, when I say we, I mean universally we.
Right, it was sort of a crew of us, yeah.
Yeah, and then, you know, if you're on your Facebook sometime and you've, like, saved friends from elementary school or high school or even junior high school and all that, then all of a sudden they want to talk, you know, after, like, 40 years. I'm not one of those people. You know, what do I say? What am I going to say to these people? Whatever.
Yeah, it's more nerve-wracking for you.
Yeah, and then if you will notice, I am an extrovert. My job is going to be to try to make you laugh and understand that we're all in this together. Scott's too, you know, even though Scott's more technical than I am. So I don't usually, when a friend of that I haven't talked to in that many years says, "Hey, call me," I go, "Yeah, have a nice day." But back in February, I was diagnosed with cirrhosis. which has quickly turned into end-stage liver disease. And now I have ascites, and for those who don't know what ascites is, it's fluid building up in my abdominal cavity and on the right side mainly, and behind my right lung. So fluid is always having to be removed.
Which we should point out to everyone is actually even a little more serious, the fluid in your chest cavity, than just in your abdomen. I mean, both are not good and pretty serious, but where Will's been experiencing it has been, it's been a real challenge for him.
Yeah, so one day, I mean, I post in everything. Speaking of that, on the webpage, there is a GoFundMe page if you would like to help out some. But second of all, I post things, you know, hey, I'm in the hospital again. Hey, I'm out of the hospital. I'm back in the hospital. And one day Scott said, hey, I've got the same thing. Call me. Now, here's a guy that I performed with. And if anybody that's ever performed with me knows, we're family. We got along. We were family.
Right, so you go through a lot together in a show.
Oh, yes, you do. So I called him up, and God, how many hours did we talk that night? 4 or 5 hours?
It was 4 or 5 hours, yeah.
And at the end of it, I said, hey, you ever think about doing a podcast about this? Because me personally, and Scott's slightly different, I want people to know that they're not alone. I want people to laugh and smile and, you know, hey, we're in this together. There's nothing we can do. We might as well laugh. We might as well do this. And not every case of cirrhosis or liver disease or whatever is the same.
Exactly.
Scott's got a couple of things. What do you have, Scott? What are some of your symptoms?
My primary symptoms are digestive issues. You know, my nutrition is all crazy out of whack.
I have had ascites as well.
It has been more focused in my abdomen and my legs and ankles and feet. And so I've been, you know, had to deal with that, diuretics and all those kinds of things. And yeah, those are sort of my, and I've developed osteoporosis because of the malnutrition, that I'm experiencing. For me, it really is mostly diet and digestion related. It's kind of destroyed my whole gastro system.
It's torn up my, I mean, as they said about diuretics, you know, water pills. That helps me a lot with my ascites. This was what, 6 weeks ago we started talking about doing the podcast?
I think, yeah, thereabout. That sounds right.
And we could have had it up and going in about a week, but then I ended up in the hospital for 4 weeks.
Right.
Once again, with the fluid that's building up. I've been put under hospice care, but not, oh my God, I'm going to die hospice care. Just, they get me the supplies I need. They answer my questions. They get me to a doctor.
They help you navigate the screwed up, messed up, complicated health system that we have.
Oh, exactly. And now I've been in the hospital in 2.5 weeks, 3 weeks, because they have put a tube in my back. So whenever I need to drain my back, and I know this sounds whatever, I can, they hospice sends me all the supplies that I need that I can drain when I need to drain. And the draining, along with the diuretics, the Flexeril and the spironolactone, you know, they have really helped a lot. That I don't have to, whatever. It's taking my energy, though. You know, I try to get out of the house, but sometimes I just can't. This happened, started back in February, and I don't even drive by myself much anymore. Mm-hmm. If I'm in town, I might take, you know, the car and I'll go to the store or I'll go see a friend or something. But I was an Uber driver. I loved it. I'm in Central Florida. I'm not going to give you the exact place, but I'm in Central Florida and I would drive in Orlando. I would drive in Tampa. You know, I would drive up towards the middle of the state to Ocala, Gainesville.
Yep.
All of that. And now I can't do that anymore. At one point, I went into a restaurant that I'd been into 100 times and lost my memory.
Yeah, that happens. The ammonia, the toxin buildup, it can cause what they call hydroencephaly, and it can get really bad.
Yeah, well, I've gotten, like, for the memory thing, I do lose my or forget what I'm going to say,
mm-hmm.
occasionally, but there was nothing like that one day. And since, you know, I went into the hospital, the doctors helped me treat that. You know, they give me this real sticky stuff to drink that I just, it's not really bad flavor. It's just like maple syrup on steroids.
Yeah, lactulose. I'm on it. I'm on it. I take it.
Oh, God, I hate that stuff.
30 milliliters three times a day, buddy. 30 milliliters three times a day.
I'm happy today. Today I got accepted for Medicaid.
And yes, Medicaid, I know. This is such great news.
I can then move forward with trying to get a liver transplant. And it's also podcast day. Yay! We're recording our first podcast on podcast day.
Yeah, and it really is exciting, everybody, because Will really did just this afternoon. He called me and was like, or he actually texted me and said, hey, I'll get with you. I'm doing something right now, and I think it's going to end up being really good news. And when he called me, this is what he told me. And yes, it's fantastic. We've been trying to figure out a way to get things moving for him. And yeah, this is awesome.
Yeah. So, also another little thing. I refer to Scott as my sobriety buddy. There's not really a buddy in the liver cirrhosis world that you can really sort of has a name like that. But Scott and I talk, what do we talk? 2-3 times a day now?
Yeah, we text and phone chat, you know, at least a couple times a day.
And we'd love to be in the same studio in the same area doing the podcast. But I've got all my medical stuff where I'm at. He's got all his medical stuff where he's at. So we, you know, we'll Facebook or we'll call and we'll discuss this. We'll discuss that. We'll discuss our issues. We'll discuss things that made us laugh during the day. And all of that at least 2-3 times a day.
Oh, yeah. And we're fairly tangential people. So you guys are going to be along for the ride, because I'll guarantee you we are going to go off on tangents. It will happen.
Very much so. And just so y'all know, I am an extrovert and I don't like interrupting people. I just think of new things and I want to say it. So I say it and I end up cutting Scott off. I don't know. I probably literally apologize to Scott for cutting him off at least 1,000 times, you know. And so there's also a comment section if you'd like to put the comment in there. Sign up for letting you know when the next episode will be.
Yeah, please subscribe, because when you subscribe, you will get email notifications whenever we post a new episode. So you'll be able to stay caught up and in the loop and everything.
And not all, and we are not doctors by any stage of the imagination.
Yeah, it's funny you say that. Yeah, I mean, we are not doctors. We're not here to talk about diagnosis. We're not here to talk about, we're just simply talking about our experience, living life day to day now with what we have, working toward a transplant, because we are both now, yay, finally, both working toward getting a transplant. And
Scott, who was diagnosed after I was, is closer to it than I am.
About the same.
Which goes into a whole...
About the same
time. Which goes back into another episode we're going to do about the disparity of healthcare in this country.
Oh yes, we're going to do a whole episode, and I'll guarantee you it'll weave in and out as a theme throughout the whole series because. Yes.
And then sometimes we may not discuss cirrhosis or liver disease or anything a whole lot at all.
Right.
We may be talking about, hey, this happened this week. This cheered me up.
Or right. This a really fantastic experience happened. Or met somebody or.
Oh, yeah.
Frankly, Will and I will end up talking about music we're listening to and.
Theater.
Movies or shows, theater that we see.
An actor, so y'all know, just once an actor, we're always an actor.
Pretty much.
You just don't go, today I'm not going to be an actor anymore.
No, pretty much doesn't work that way.
My mother was in her late 50s, went back to college, got her degree, and went into New York City. Performed for about 3 or 4 years in New York City, commercials, theater, all this, indie films and all that. And then in her mid-60s decided, okay, I'm going to retire now. And that's where I get it from. My mother was just when it came to the arts and the love, I inherited that. And in that, I have met incredible actors. Scott is a prime example.
Oh, we know. Will and I are friends with some really, really wonderful, wonderful artists and frankly people. Some of the people that we know are just some of the better human beings on the planet. So
I've noticed, I don't know if you've ever noticed, but the nicer the person, the better the actor.
Oh, absolutely.
So we have performed with people that have now won Tony Awards and all of that. Not that we brag about that, but to let you know that is part of our they're part of our family. And one of them's dad, I won't mention names, but one of their dads was like our mentor.
Was one of our mentors. Fortunate enough to be just one of our mentors, honestly, because we had multiples.
But if you've never been taught acting underneath a tree, you have not lived.
Absolutely.
And it didn't mean if you were just wanted to be an actor, if you wanted to be a painter or a sculptor or anything in the arts like that, he was always there to guide you and to show you and to answer your questions.
Yeah. He was an incredible
artist. And one of his children got accepted. I'll never forget this. One of his children got accepted to the American Academy in New York. And that's somewhere I had auditioned for and got accepted, just couldn't afford, you know. So when his daughter came back from the American Academy, I asked her how it was, and she just looked at me and said, it wasn't anything my dad didn't already teach us. You know, she said it was a waste of my money.
So
we are actors. We will make jokes. We will cut up.
We'll probably rail on each other.
Oh, my God, yes. But we want you. Scott's more technical and knows a lot more technical facts than I do. But we both want you to be happy. We want you to look forward and go, hey, here's somebody that'll make me laugh. Here's something I can look forward to and not dwell on what's going on with me. Because there's nothing we can do about it. We could just be in this together and be.
Right. I mean, exactly. There's really nothing that we can do past what we can do, you know, under a doctor's care, following the appropriate guidelines, all those kind of things, whatever, you know. And then from that point, you know, yes, you're kind of at the mercy of your body and biology and all those kinds of things. And so I agree with you 1,000%. There's no sense in dwelling on the negative. You know, I prefer to focus on positively getting through things and, you know, learning and growing and trying to become a better human being and a better person. And you know, that's a process, frankly. And it's funny. I mean, for me, I feel like I'm in a real place of new discovery with that, and really trying to reconnect with myself, which is funny because it's not kind of a theme running through everything, because Will and I are reconnecting, and it's something that we hope that we can just give a little bit of light and goodness and levity and just, you know, camaraderie, family, so to speak.
And we've been family for 40 years, even though we haven't really, you know, seen each other. Or
exactly.
We did get the occasional birthday. Hey, how you doing?
Yeah,
sort of thing, which is more than what I do with a lot of people that come across my Facebook. So, yeah. Scott, tell us about your story.
Well, it's kind of similar in that I got diagnosed really the beginning of this year. It was February, March. I was actually in a run of a production of Inherit the Wind and was having a lot of difficulties with the run, and had been having difficulties for a while, and decided finally, okay, it's just I have to go to the doctor and figure it out. Was not expecting them to come to me and say that I had cirrhosis. I was expecting them to come and tell me I had, you know, I was lactose intolerant or had, you know, celiac disease or some kind of...
Let me interrupt you there since you're on that subject too. The way that I found out that what I had is I was laying on my bed eating a cracker, and I took one bite out of the cracker and it felt like my stomach was a cinder block.
Mm-hmm.
So these things could just pop up on you, and you should really go see your doctor.
Yeah, I mean, ultimately it's, you know, it's paying attention to these things, paying attention to your body. My doctors have told me that I've caught it mildly early-ish. You know, still I'm not progressed really very far. So I feel very fortunate in that way. And so, yeah, and then got the cirrhosis diagnosis, and kind of for a few months, honestly, was seeing my gastro, and they had not yet referred me to a hepatologist or a transplant center. And then a few months into it, I guess it was probably about June, July, I had a little bit of a sodium blood pressure incident, and my MELD score. So everyone knows, and there are some of you who may know and some who don't, you're probably going to hear at least me and hear us refer to something called a MELD score. And it's an acronym, and what it is it's the model for end-stage liver disease. And it's a numeric number that they get from the blood work, values in the blood, that determines basically how sick you are, how far progressed the cirrhosis is, and how much it is continuing to progress. Because as you progress, the numbers will get worse. And so my MELD score has been, you know, it's higher than it obviously should be. It's into cirrhosis, but for cirrhosis was relatively low. And I was with diet and the diuretics and so forth, I've been able to kind of keep it in a fairly solid place. Well, in like June, July, it kind of spiked up, and I think my gastro decided that it was time to refer me to a transplant center and to a hepatologist. And so now I've been accepted as a patient, honestly, I just finished getting some paperwork in this week, like day before yesterday, Monday. I got the rest of the paperwork in that should now make it so that they will list me. So I should hopefully here in the next couple of weeks be getting placed onto the transplant list. Now, I'm probably going to wait a while before I actually get a transplant because, again, my meld numbers have been relatively low. Although the most recent round of blood work I've had did go up some. So, and like Will said, I saw through social media that Will was battling the same thing, and I was like, wow, what are the chances? And honestly, for me, it's kind of a little, I don't know what the right word is, spooky or ironic, or I don't, it's not ironic. I don't know what, but anyway, how many sort of brushes, connections to liver disease that I actually have. First of all, my mother had cirrhosis and had a transplant. And I have a really good friend that lives here locally where I live, who 3 years ago had a transplant and is doing fantastic. And I have another friend besides Will that is also going through cirrhosis. And so it's kind of one of those things. And the doctors have told me that genetics are the big culprit for me. That is, you know, the big factor of how and why I've developed this is, you know, my genetics. Yay. And seriously. And yeah. So, I was going to say too, everybody, just a little bit of a sidebar, and, you know, we'll try to keep it as contained as we can here and there and stuff. But honestly, for real, liver disease is gross. It, you know, it's just what it does to you, what it does to your body. Everything about it is just gross. And so, you know, that's going to end up being part of the conversation. I know we're going to say gross stuff. And, you know, I guess we apologize a little bit in advance, but, you know, it be what it be. So, yeah, that's
part of the territory.
Exactly, exactly. So that's a little bit of background, I guess, like how I came to be diagnosed. Like I said, it wasn't really expected at all. Even though my mother had had cirrhosis and so forth, it's not really one of those.
Oh, yeah, it runs in my family, too.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I suspect genetics are a big part of it for both of us. And, you know, I have to say, for real, it's been a little, you know, it's gone back and forth. You know, when I first went to the transplant center and my initial evaluation with the transplant center was a huge appointment. It was like 5 hours long and just so much information and so much stuff. You know, I spent probably at least 20 minutes, a half an hour with every member of my team, some of them longer. And my team, I mean, it is a team of people that are attending to me and this right now. I mean, there's two hepatologists, there's a surgeon, there's an anesthesiologist, there's a pharmacist, there's a nurse coordinator, there's a social worker, there's a physical therapist, there's a dietitian. I mean, it's really crazy. And I spent in that first appointment probably 20 minutes, a half an hour, like I said, with all of them minimum, some of them even a little longer. The hepatologist was probably honestly closer to an hour. And yeah, and now I, you know, like I said, I'm probably on the cusp of getting listed. They've been talking to me very seriously about a living donor, which is probably something that we'll talk about through the course of the show, exactly what a living donor is and the difference between really a living donor and a deceased donor. I mean, obviously, you can just from the titles, you can probably kind of figure them out. And I'm sure we'll get into talking about like the transplant system and the way it works. Like I discovered this, like even with the folks that I had known that had dealt with this, I wasn't completely aware of how everything really works. And it's not as straightforward as people think. You know, the transplant, the organ transplant list is not a, you know, it's not like a big list of 10,000 people and today I'm number 10,000 and tomorrow I'm number 9,999. It doesn't really work that way. It's a little more complicated. Things are much more geographic based. The organs can only, they have a finite period of time they can be outside of a human body before they lose viability to be able to be transplanted. So there's sort of limitations that are inside of the system that drive really the way it works. And, you know, we'll, I'm sure, talk about all of that stuff too, just because it's difficult to avoid as we're getting all into this. So, and I got to tell you, I share Will's same feeling about, like, I hope that this can, our conversations in some way can help some of you guys out there, if any of you are dealing with it yourself or have family or friends that are.
I also want to speak about the mental side of it real quick.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, that's frankly huge is the mental health side of it all. Because, you know, it's funny. It's a cliche. I mean, you know, Will, it's a cliche. People say it, you know, oh, you know, looking at your own mortality changes your perspective, changes things. And yes, it's a cliche, but it's a cliche, I think, because for a reason, because it's kind of true. And yes, the notion of the fact that my body is without the proper care and assistance is sooner rather than later going to give out is psychologically a little crazy to deal with. And, you know, It takes some processing. So you're absolutely right to, you know, we, yes.
Yeah, I suffer from ADHD, but was only re-diagnosed with that 2 years ago. I technically have dealt with it since I was 5.
And frankly, probably before that too.
Probably, yes. But I suffered the depression. I handled it separately. The stress, the anxiety, I've handled it separately. The anger, the frustration, I've handled it separately. Now, after speaking to my psychologist, psychiatrist, whatever he may be, you know, we put it all into one. I have one thing that helps me with everything except for focus. So if we're in the middle of a conversation and I go, oh, look, squirrel, then, you know, I've kind of jumped off my rocker there. But it is going to be depressing. It is going to hurt. And I'll let you on something a little personal. I had come home from the hospital last time, and 2 nights later, it was like a boulder that hit me on the head. I had never been so scared. I had never been so frightened. You know, I immediately balled up in a ball and was crying, and I have a lovely group of angels around me, non-medical support friends that are there 24/7. I called them. I told them, I sent them messages, and I said, you know, you don't need to call me tonight, but I am going to let you know what's going on. And then one of my sisters lives with me here, and bless her heart, she's a brilliant, smart woman. But I called her and told her what was going on, and she wasn't sure what to do. And then we talked for just a little moment, and then she realized, wait a minute, I'm his big sister. This is my job to be there to to maybe calm him, to maybe, you know, let him know that we're all here together. We're not going anywhere.
Sometimes just having that person there, just having somebody sit next to you.
Thing.
Yeah,
exactly. And that's the thing with ADHD. They have a thing called body doubling.
Mm-hmm.
And if someone is just there, they don't have to be doing what you're doing. They're just there with you. Moves mountains.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you feel more comfortable. You feel more secure. But if anyone is starting to go through this, or they believe they're going through this, no, it's going to be, you're going to get depressed because you're going to start thinking about everything. But if you surround yourself with the right people, the right animals, the right everybody, and you, only you can decide if they're right for you. Can
exactly.
You, and you will make, that's why I say Scott now, he's my sobriety buddy. We talk 3-4 times a day. I don't know where I would be right now if I had not called him when he asked me to 6 weeks ago. I don't.
Yeah, I mean, I feel this. I feel very the same way. I mean, you know, there's a real, and I don't know how to describe it. I don't even know. I can't. You know, it's difficult to make it really tangible. But yes, I feel. You know, talking with you every day is supportive. Honestly, even when I feel really positive, it's you know, it's just really supportive to still be able to connect with you and to hear about what's happening and to have conversations about it. And
listen to me apologize because I'm laid up in bed with 12 pillows behind my back.
Yeah.
And all of that. But I do also quickly want to add in there. There is a comment section on the Facebook page. You want to write and leave a comment anytime, 24/7. As soon as we get it, either Scott or I will reply back to you. If you leave an email address, I will reply back to that email address, or Scott will, you know, so you know that you're not alone. It's not one of these things where, oh, look, someone else. No. Because I was given the support by my friends, longtime friends, and all of that, that I give back to the world what was given me. So remember that if you want to leave a comment, or if there's something on your mind that may be bothering you, or you have a question about treatment or what you should look for, by all means, leave a comment and we will get back to you almost as quickly as we can. I say almost. I'm on a lot of heavy meds, dude. You know, sometimes
yeah.
I just lay out here and I go, wow, ceiling fan. But no, we'll get back to you as soon as possible because we want you to know that you're not alone. And Scott is laughing and smiling here. And that's the kind of thing we want to bring to your face as well as help you get through what you're going through.
Yeah, I mean, it is very much, you know, it is just connecting in a very human and honest and personal kind of way. And it's funny, Will and I, we just sort of naturally do this, the two of us. And really, truthfully, I don't know that it's necessarily just with each other. I think Will and I probably do this kind of just in life, but then with each other, even more so.
It doesn't hurt to be kind. It doesn't hurt to... You know, and I'm not an overly religious person. I'm more of a spiritual person.
Yes, me too.
And in the Bible, it says, you know, Matthew 25, when I was hungry, you fed me. When I needed shoes, you gave me shoes. And they said, well, Father, when was that? And he said, what you do to the least of my children, you do unto me. If I've got food, I'm going to share food. If I have two shirts, I'll give you one shirt. If I have one shirt, I'll probably give you that one shirt. You know, that's the way to me that life deserves to be lived. Continue on. Sorry for interrupting you.
Right. Exactly. I mean, I'm very much a person that believes that, you know, and work very hard at trying to live my life, putting into the world what I'd like to get back out. It doesn't always work, you know.
Oh, no.
But
see, sometimes that's not necessarily up to you.
Right.
You're doing what you need to do. Whereas other people are like, that's my food. That's my clothes. That's my... What's it going to do you? You know, I got more clothes. I don't usually, you know, wear a huge wardrobe, but I have. I'm a jeans and t-shirt kind of guy. I got God knows how many pairs of jeans, how many pairs of t-shirts. You know, I got my green Converse sneakers. Other than fine dining reservations, I wear my green Converse everywhere, you know. I've got clothes to put on people's back. I've got a roof over my head. I've got some food in my mouth that I can share with other people.
That's gross, dude.
You know? What, my food?
I feel very much in the same vein that, you know, and for me, it even goes beyond just logistical, physical things. It sort of moves into the, I don't know what the right word is, the metaphysical or the philosophical. It you know, it moves into just emotional support and having a little empathy and appreciating what somebody else is going through. And
oh yeah, you know, my mom always called that home training.
Yeah. And it's one of the things I say right now. I mean, in the crazy freaking world that we're living in right now, I say, frankly, all the time, you know, a little empathy can go a long way. And, you know, I work really hard at that. And I recognize I can work harder. I have, you know, way further to go in my life. I've not even begun to scratch the surface of really what's possible or where I should be or however you want to put it. And
even going through what we're going through, that is our primary thought.
Yes. I mean, certainly, you know, I mean, frankly, you know, I guess back to that a little bit, you're absolutely right, Will. I mean, my entire existence now kind of really revolves around.
Well, you have true obligations, and I'm not going to go into what I think true obligations are. And you take care of those obligations that you absolutely have to take care of, but then it doesn't become about you. It becomes about, hey, what can we do for others? What can we...
Exactly.
What advice can we give to help them?
And how can I just...
Maybe not, and I hate using the word mope.
How can I just live so that others can see in my actions that I'm working? I'm you know, as Jules put it in Pulp Fiction, you know, I'm trying real hard to be the shepherd. And
oh yeah.
And it's the thing is it is really hard. It is really hard to live life in that kind of way. It takes work and many times it's exhausting. And, you know,
you keep doing it.
Right. Well, I see why we get tired, you know. We as human beings, you know, it ends up being worth it, I think. It's always kind of felt like it to me, you know. And like I said, I am in this period of growth and and stuff that I'm in right now. And it's weird because, you know, I've said this to people. It's a strange kind of dichotomy to be in. You probably find this a little bit too, Will. My body is failing. You know, it's
oh yeah.
You know, but my perspective is actually growing. I feel like it's, you know, I'm working at trying to be more empathetic. I'm working at trying to not be as reactive. I'm working at trying to be more engaged and be more responsive. And, you know, there's a book I read recently, and it had a line in it that was talking about letting, if you've let friendship, and this sort of ties us together a little bit with our theme of this episode, which is reconnecting, you know, that it, through the years, if you've let friendships falter, unfalter them.
Exactly.
And, you know, I feel like I'm in that real place right now where I'm trying to go back through my life, and people that I have neglected or lost touch with or what have you through the years, really work at reconnecting that. And
well, see, I get the opposite. I'll go through and go, why did I friend them in the first place? I didn't like them in high school. I didn't like them in elementary. I didn't like them in college. Why am I friending them now? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I feel you there.
I hate that, because I sit there and I look it over going, why did I friend them? My best friend when I was in elementary school was the coolest kid around. He's being raised by his mom. We got in trouble together. If one of us got in trouble, we both got in trouble, that sort of thing. And now he is a raging racist, homophobic biker.
Oh, perfectly normal.
Well, I don't know. I haven't talked to him, and I think he kind of blocked me on Facebook. Though we didn't part when we were talking on Facebook about, you know, we weren't angry with each other.
Right, it wasn't like you were in some heated political discussion or whatever.
Now, I'm straight, but I am a huge LGBTQ ally.
Absolutely. You know. 100%. Me
and
too.
I am always posting things on my, like when the Pulse massacre happened in Orlando. You know, here are people I worked with at Disney and Universal for years. Could they have been there that night?
Right.
And I think it was something that I posted like that, and he wrote me back this rudest letter and all of that. And I'm like, Keith, we were best friends, man. I've not done anything to you. Yeah,
right, right. Well,
and
you didn't prompt that at all. I mean, you know, you posting that on Facebook is not asking for him to come attacking you. I mean, you're just sort of saying.
Yeah, so then I go back, and there's loads of people from, like, college I just want to go thump, 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 thump. I got a couple of fraternity brothers from college. One of them's a big old liberal redneck. And every Georgia football game, we're always texting each other all through the day because his first wife, God rest her soul, was an Auburn fan, and I never met her. Uh-huh. Apparently she was from LaGrange where he went to college, but I never met her. And one day he messaged me, he goes, Rhonda said I had to friend you on Facebook. I'm like, well, why did Rhonda say? Because she likes you. She thinks you're a great guy. And she was a big Auburn fan. So they used to have a Christmas thing that if everyone in the Georgia-Auburn game got to decorate the Christmas tree.
Oh, right. Yeah, yeah.
So now Bill and I have been, you know, Bill's one of the attitudes about, listen, I got to get up at 4 o'clock in the morning and go to work. I ain't got time to be, you know, taking somebody else's whatever on. So I know that was kind of a wobbly off the point thing, people, but that's the way it was right there.
Right. Well, I mean, yeah, may as well get used to that. Cause...
But I am the complete opposite, because I will sit there and go, why are you even showing up on my Facebook? You know? And then there's some I'm like, I friended because I went to college for them, And then something will happen, like a death in my family or something, and they will write me the longest, most compassionate letter or comment. And these are people I really didn't get along with in college, but now, you know, we're grown up. We're adults.
Right.
We're not kids anymore. So then I have to go back and, you know, thank them for the letter and talk to them, and then I don't have a problem. But just some that have their heads up their butts, never mind.
Yeah, and you know, I guess I'm mainly talking about folks that, you know, I was close with really at some point in my life, and for whatever reason, let it go and let it falter, let it, you know, dissipate.
Yeah. Yeah, and, exactly. I was thinking the same thing. Sorry.
And for me, that process, because I agree with you about the random people. I mean, there are people that, you know, I've somehow kind of started to reconnect with, and then realized after reconnecting with them, like, oh, this is not the person I remember them being at all necessarily.
Oh, exactly, so, exactly.
And so, you know, there's definitely that, but it's one of those really goofy things for me to be in such a period of personal reconnection while at the same time, you know, dealing with such physical extremes.
Yeah, I'm with you.
But it's, you know, it's, I feel that you and I, it's kind of kismet. You know what I mean? Us finding each other.
There's a reason that we reconnected.
Yes. And some of it is about this very thing. You know, it's a little meta here. This thing we're doing right now is, I do feel compelled to, like you, to do. It's like,
I'm excited.
Yeah, it's about, again, connection and the feeling to give to the world and to know that, you know, because I know that as this progresses, I'm going to need lots of stuff. I like you. See? There it is. Liver disease. Gotta love it.
Think about it. Take deep breaths.
I burped. I don't know if everybody heard it. It sounded to me like it was on camera, so that's why I was like,
oh, so you think that's what you got from me?
Yeah.
Of all the weeks of talking, you got the burping from me.
I got the burping. But I, like you, have a community, have like a group of people around me that are going to be there for me in a very difficult time, you know, because, you know, I mean, we haven't talked about this yet at all, but the logistics of an organ transplant, of a liver transplant are, you know, fairly big, you know, I mean, it's not like an outpatient thing. It's, you know, you're in the hospital a good 10, 12, 15 days, 2 or 3 days in the ICU, you know, probably another month or 6 weeks at home with like no driving and no work at all. Then maybe a little bit back to work depending on your job and whatever. I'm very fortunate, you know, I work in media production, so I, you know, I'm a director. I sit at a video switcher a lot, so it's, I'm a graphic artist, so I sit at a computer. I feel pretty fortunate that I'm, you know, probably going to be able to do work through some of my recovery. But, you know, we're probably talking a good 2-3 months of life being seriously affected by just the physical invasion of the surgery. You know, the scar Will and I are going to have is impressive.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's like it's Frankenstein's scar. You know, it's serious.
Yeah, but I kind of also look at that. You know,
I honestly,
we're getting up in age. So you know,
hey, speak for yourself.
Write that, we could write that off as like, you want to see my war scar?
Yeah.
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 That happened when I was fighting in the first Gulf War in the early 90s right there.
Right.
Shit. Yeah. I was fighting 5 Afghanis at one time, man.
Yeah.
It was crazy. It was
crazy.
But I survived, and I took them all out.
Yeah, nobody's going to believe that shit about me. Not a.
No, they're not going to believe that shit about me either. They're not going to believe that about me either. But it's worth the try. See?
Right, right. Yeah, honestly, the scar is one of those things that I have to say, yes, it's, once I'm through everything and through the surgery and liver's good and it's all good and everything, the scar is going to be one of those things.
And there's still 20 million pills a day.
Exactly. The scar is one of those things that, honestly, I'm probably going to be kind of proud of. You know, I'll be willing to show, you know, I'll be willing to lift my shirt and show people, be like, yeah, see?
That big cut down the right side of your body.
Well, it's almost like a star, you know, like it's like a...
Oh, is it?
Yeah, it starts sort of like just under your sternum. It'll go down to like the center of your abdomen, and then just above your belly button, it'll branch out into a Y and then go to your hips.
Oh, see, I told you he was the technical, guys.
Yeah.
He's the technical man. Me, I got a rock.
But it's a pretty rock.
So they're going to open me up. That's how they're going to cut me open. They're going to sharpen a rock and go, ooh, ooh,
ooh.
Yeah. Exactly. Urgsy, cut here.
It is, you know, it's one of those crazy, I mean, because it's like they're going to, they basically flap us open and, you know, so they can get in and out and our liver, and surgery is, you know, 8, 10, 12 hours. And yeah, so the actual physical surgery itself, honestly, that was for me, that was probably, you know, a day, two, three, maybe even processing that, you know, just dealing with it intellectually first and then dealing with it emotionally, kind of dealing with wrapping my head around, you know, what's going to end up happening. Well, anyway,
I think we've done pretty good for our first episode.
We've talked about quite a bit, and you know, we're probably going to think about 50 other things, and which is why it's a series, and you know.
And we would love to hear what y'all think that you would like to hear.
Yes, how we can focus our conversation, things you'd like to hear us talk about, and you know, it's really exciting to be able to share this with you guys. It's because it's certainly interesting and different, and affects a lot of different things that you don't even really realize. So yeah. Thank you for joining us. Please.
I do want to say something real quick.
Oh, please do.
This is our first episode, and we weren't sure or whatever, but y'all brought out the talkie in us, and we have gone an hour on our first podcast, which is awesome, and we're very, very appreciative of that. Thank you, each and every one. Now, next time we do an episode, which hopefully will be about a week or so, I'm not going to be so formal. Y'all are going to be part of the family. And I'm just going to call you out, bro. Yeah, bro. You know? So,
yeah.
There you go. Just know that now you're part of the family because you listened to the first episode. And Scott and I can't wait to have you back.
Yes. Please keep coming back. You know, we're just going to keep talking and talking about what we're dealing with and talking about our perspective and that's really all we have is our perspective. So we're excited about it, and we're thrilled to have you guys with us, and look forward to next time. What are we going to talk about next time?
I don't know if we've completely decided that.
I don't know if we've decided that yet either. There's a, you know, we have a couple of options that we've could consider, but
we are. If anybody out there has a suggestion, send it too.
Oh, absolutely. We'll certainly be talking more about our experience with healthcare. Frankly,
almost definitely.
Frankly, Will's situation that he's been dealing with over the past month, 6 weeks alone. Honestly, I feel like we could have multiple hours of conversation about. So yes, thank you for joining us, and we look forward to continuing our conversation.
And we will leave you with this quote by the great American poet somebody. I cried because I had no shoes till I met a man who had no feet. Think about it.
Indeed. Thanks, everybody. See you next time.